The UN has declared 2015 the International Year of Light. We've been celebrating throughout the year by exploring the captivating characteristics of light. And today we're going to talk about little devices that put out light, LEDs. Lighting has come a long way since Tom Edison lit up his first incandescent bulb in the 1880s. LED bulbs, they're popping up everywhere on planes, car headlights, in your phone. When you buy a new light bulb now, chances are it's going to be an LED one. And at the heart of every LED is not a little wire. If you open up an LED, there's a semiconductor in there. And where you find a semiconductor, you can be sure you're going to find an engineer trying to tinker with it. And my next guest is researching how to wirelessly stream data through everyday LED bulbs. Can your lamp become your Wi-Fi station? He's here to tell us the state of Li-Fi. That's a term that he coined. In the future, we'll be logging on to networks. Could that be as simple as flipping a switch on your light bulb? Harold Haas is a professor of engineering, University of Edinburgh in the UK. He's also co-founder and chief scientific officer at Pure Li-Fi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello. Good afternoon.
This is an old idea, going back, well, way back to Alexander Graham Bell communicating with visible light, right?
That's correct. Alexander Graham Bell was the one who invented the photophone, and in fact, he thought this is his biggest invention, even bigger than the telephone.
Now, you've been working on a system called Li-Fi. There are LEDs and remote controls. Tell us how a Li-Fi system works and how different it is from what we have now.
Right. So you basically said it in your introduction, LEDs are semiconductor devices, a little bit like transistors, and they have the property that we can change the light that comes out of an LED very, very quickly. So that changes in the brightness is what we exploit in order to encode data extremely fast, so that the receiver will be a decoder, a photo detector, which will then see these changes in the light intensity in a way a human eye would not be able to detect. For a human eye, it would be simply constant light. But for a photo detector, it is a change in the intensity, and then we have algorithms that recover these changes in intensity and get back the data stream. And we've shown with LEDs that we can, in the lab, we have shown data rates of up to 15 gigabit per second, and that is, at the moment, more than twice as fast as the fastest Wi-Fi.
Well, so besides just the speed, what advantage does an LED flashing up and down like that and sending up zeros and ones have over a Wi-Fi or even over a laser light?
Right. There are numerous advantages. One of the biggest advantages is that we use spectrum. We use the visible light spectrum, which is by nature about 10,000 times larger than the radio spectrum we use currently in our cellular communication systems. So we can use a vast amount of free spectrum, which is unlicensed and basically installed everywhere. You mentioned it in cars, in our LED lights at home, in street lights, and so on. So it's ubiquitous. It's already there. We can use existing infrastructure in creating a very efficient sort of cellular communications. Huh. That's one advantage. The other advantage is that we have this capacity, this additional capacity, these additional fat data pipes that essentially come for free, and that alleviates what we call the radio frequency spectrum crunch. If you go to an airport into crowded areas and try to log into the Wi-Fi, you probably will find out that the data rates are terribly slow, and that's because of the limited availability of radio spectrum. So it is providing higher capacity. We use existing infrastructure and therefore don't have to have these large infrastructure investments. And also, it is more secure. If you go out and try to sort of log into Wi-Fi networks, probably you will see 20 to 30 Wi-Fi networks, and that basically would mean you could break into them. So eavesdrop into ongoing communications is a standard problem at the moment. But light wouldn't go through walls, and therefore it would be more secure than Wi-Fi. And the fourth big advantage is that we can use Li-Fi in areas where we traditionally can't use radio, such as underwater or in intrinsically safe environments like petrochemical plants or oil rigs everywhere where an antenna could spark an explosion.
Interesting. We're talking about the new world of Li-Fi with Harold Haas on Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Now, could you, you know, we're talking about a lot of times about the cars and self-driving cars and the need for cars to communicate with each other if they're going to be, you know, be safer. Could your headlight flash an LED at the other car and so they sort of talk to each other as they're approaching and know where they are and exchange communication?
Yes, this is indeed one of the further applications that the car headlights, if you go to a BMW, for example, they use headlights where the white light beam is generated out of three LEDs, a red, a green, and a blue LED, and these are laser LEDs and cover up to 600 meters, and we can use these LEDs to transmit sort of data from car to car and use the backlight to relay back the information. And this is a way we can enhance safety on our roads and even extend the vision. Sort of normally you see the car in front of you, but if you were able to relay high-definition video from, say, three cars in front of you, you could see earlier what's happening on the street and therefore enhance security. That's actually one of the many applications that we see with this sort of emerging technology.
Wow. But if it is emerging, how soon are we going to see it in practical use?
We see it already. I think we in the company Pure Li-Fi, we are already at the third generation of products. So we have it installed in various pilot projects in the security industry, but also in wireless communications and lighting, where the industry at the moment faces a big problem with the LED light, because the LED light lasts about 20 years, and so the industry can't sell light bulbs every 6 months to customers. There need to be a new business model which means that an LED or a light bulb need to have additional features, additional functions other than just lighting. And that is where Li-Fi plays a key role, because with Li-Fi we create a channel that could host sort of thousands of applications, from home sensing of elderly. You'll find out if people sort of have fallen down. You could find out in the way you would navigate indoors, so it's for indoor navigation, and many, many more applications would be possible with light. And we, as a company, run several projects in these industries.
Mm-hmm. We'd have to integrate them right into an adapter in our USB port or something like that.
Right, absolutely. So at the moment, it's a device that you stick into the USB port of your laptop. So we are now on a very, very radical path towards miniaturization. We will see soon dongles coming out, and then eventually, if everyone sees the big advantage of that technology, we are very confident that it will be integrated into smartphones.
Harold Haas, Professor of Engineering, University of Edinburgh, in UK, co-founder and Chief Scientific Officer of Pure Li-Fi. Thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. One last thing. You might have already suspected this from your own research, but working long hours could be bad for you. A new study out in Lancet this week showed that people who work 55 hours or more per week had 33% increased risk of stroke, 13% increased risk of heart disease, even up to 48 hours is a risky time, too. The study didn't say why, but you probably can guess it has something to do with stress and all the inactivity and bad food you eat on overtime. So ask your boss for fewer hours this week, unless, of course, you are the boss, and now we know why you're working so hard.